Hello everyone and welcome to the round 3 trade targets and preview live stream. Hopefully you don't hear my fan in my bedroom too loudly, but it's a bit hot today. It's a bit muggy here in Sydney, so I need to keep myself cool, calm and collected so I can make some reasonable, rational trades and not big tilt rage trades. But I hope you're all doing very well. Of course the hair is going to be on point. I've had someone message me saying a bit too much hair chat on the live stream, and I'm like, well, I have zero control over it. I just turn up and people say what they want about it, but I can't stop them. So just some feedback I've received from the public, but look, you guys keep doing you're the ones who are here supporting me on a weekly basis, so you know what, F the haters. That's what I'll say to that. Great to see so many of you in the chat already. Toby, that fat guy, Paul, McGruff, Viani, I think that's how you pronounce it, Nathan Pup. My main man, Amand, can't believe it took this long to find your channel. No problems. Appreciate that a lot. Welcome aboard, Nathan. Who do you think are the best four centers going to be this year? Bit of a longer term question, so I might park that for the time being. But, you know, lots of pressing things, I think, for trades this week. You aren't even live yet, but I'm sure the hair is on point. Yeah, of course it's going to be. Alex, let's go. Benny G, I'm wiser than a mud cake. Benny, I think you've just turned off my age-restricted content by me saying that out loud. I'm gonna have to flag that to YouTube that yeah, maybe some explicit content was said there. But no, appreciate your support. Jasper Singh, Nariak, Travis, Lincoln, let's go. Matt Sherwood on full tilt. Let's raid trade, boys. Yeah, why not? Have fun with this game, of course. And you're the king, brother, Michael. I'll take that very much. So lots to get into in today's stream. I'm praying for clean internet. Change the settings again. If my face is a bit laggy, I can see it happening a little bit. Look, it's fine. As long as the audio is okay, I will just tell the people in the home, no microwave. No microwave, please. And we're good to go. All right. Yeah, so there might be some drop frames on my face, but that shouldn't stop the audio through coming through. So hopefully it all is going well. But yeah, we'll get stuck into it straight away. And yeah, we'll hopefully tackle more of your questions. I don't think I'll be able to do a Thursday Q&A countdown stream this week. So hopefully I'll try to tackle more of your questions in today's stream. So yeah, keep them coming in. But obviously a lot of the big talking points we'll talk about. Ponga, Joey Lussick, Hosking briefly as well. All that good stuff. Just on how my team went last week, I scored 978, which I was kind of not happy with because it was, you know, a captaincy fail in Ponga, but I think the rest of the team did pretty good. So 978 surprisingly went down like 10,000 spots, so I'm ranked like 16,500, but I'm kind of happy with most of my picks. Like, I got, you know, guys who should be set to make money, you know, like Bostock, Tua Peake. Having Josh Curran from the start has been helpful. Liam Henry over Poasa Famasuli. So a couple of these small decisions I feel like I've been on the right side of, which is good. So now it's just a case of just keep making the good right decisions. But yeah, otherwise, yeah, pretty happy, I guess, with the team. Obviously, rank, we're not really paying attention to that, I think, until much later in the year. But yeah, guys, join the league as well. 673-281. I'm going to skim past everything very quickly to get to the league update shout-outs. So shout-out to Dan, Tooth Fairy Mafia, topping the league, overall ranked 408 as well, which is tremendous. They've got Nathan, Natalie, who was first actually last week, Nigel, Debesis, Nicholas, Chris, and Jonty, all in the top 8, all very highly ranked overall as well. And yeah, do join the league, code 673-281. Should be hopefully being able to provide some small prizes this year and a discount potentially on Swish, which do the kind of you know, athlete shout out videos. So yeah, do join the league if you haven't already. But I guess there's probably no need to delay. We'll get straight into the hot topics of the week. So I think obviously this is the first week where price changes will occur, so that's just the first thing to flag. Now, most players have played 2 games already, so they'll be coming into their 3rd game, which is when prices will change. The likes of, you know, say the West Tigers, they're not going to change this week because they haven't played 2 games yet, they've only played the 1. And same with any player who has missed a game already. So what I did in the break-even list here, sorting from, you know, lowest break-even to the highest break-even, so the, kind of like the top 20 relevant players, I've taken out guys who won't actually change in price this week. So, you know, someone like a Lockie Galvin, for example, he's got a fairly low negative break-even from memory, but he's not going to change in price this week. So I haven't put his break even into this list yet. So I guess this kind of helps you just kind of see who are the guys who've got the biggest negative break evens set to make the most money this week. And that can sometimes just at this point in the season be helpful for informing who are the guys to prioritize, you know, trading in if you want to be starting to make cash in your team. Oliver, the hair is looking glorious as always. Appreciate that a lot. See a question from Nicholas Nicholson on Josh Curran. We will touch on Curran for sure. So I won't spend a heap of time, I think, on this break-even list. What I wanted to do on it, though, was just kind of quickly touch on a few of the guys who I'm more on the guns who I've got, who have got high break-evens who I'm really not interested in selling. Yeah, good point, Bostock. Yeah, Bostock won't change either, so that's another one. The Dolphins are on the bye this week, so they're not going to change in price. But yeah, I think let's maybe start with the guns, because I think that's probably going to be... Well, actually, no, we'll start with the negative break-evens, and we'll work our way to the guns, because the next section is about fullbacks and Ponga and stuff, and that's a big discussion, is do you sell your gun players in order to kind of beef up the rest of your team and use the money elsewhere in your squad. I think that's a really, really important thing that we need to discuss in today's stream. I'll tell you now, I'm not 100% convinced on what's the right way to go. I've got a view on it, and obviously I'll share that. On the best negative break even, so Zach Hosking did have the best at minus 56, but as we've seen in TLT round 3, he has been benched, and Elliot Whitehead has made his return and been named to start. So I think that effectively, in my opinion, killed Hosking as a trade-in option this week. He was the most traded-in guy coming into this week. A couple of reasons. So even though he's got a negative break-even, even coming off the bench, he will make a lot of money this week, probably 50-60K. If he comes off the bench, plays 30 minutes, scores about 30 points, you know, he's going to score, or he's going to make about 50 to 55K. The problem is that you're going to be using a lot of trades on him. You know, even if he makes 50-60K, you might get one more price rise out of him. That's maybe 10, 15K. So you might make like 85, maybe for lucky 100K if he comes off the bench and does well. But then you're guaranteeing, I think, a trade out for him because he's named on the bench. He's not going to be a reliable play in your 17 most weeks. And he's 511K. He's not necessarily cheap. So you have to be trading him in and trading him back out, I believe. And for the amount of money he'll make, even with a negative 56 break even coming off the bench, to me just makes him a bit of a no-go, despite him making good money, I think, this week, even if he comes off the bench. So, like, I think the negative break even is very appealing, but I think those couple of factors make me think he's not an option, I think, to trade in. You know, if you're a Lukey owner, it was looking like an okay trade in just to make good cash and hope that he stayed in the team. But, you know, Ricky's kind of played his hand. Even if he gets named to start, there's enough risk in my, you know, let's say game day, he actually gets named to start, Whitehead goes to the bench. I still think there's enough doubt then in my head that, well, if it wasn't this week, it could just be next week. He would be benched. We just don't have that certainty. So I think in that situation, I'm probably not going to be looking at him too much. Joey Lussick, negative 54 break even. Obviously a big talking point. So we'll talk about him in a little bit. Bostock, we don't need to talk about. Mulatalo, I've got later. To be honest, most of the guys on this list, I've got sections to talk about them in a bit more detail later in the stream. A couple of guys who I haven't already, Tane Tuapiki, negative 21 break even. So some news on Charles Nicoll-Klukstad is that he could be out for another 2 to 3 weeks, which means you might be able to get one or two more price rises out of Tuapiki, which is good. I was thinking that we might not be able to get any. It looks like we're going to get a couple. So I think for owners, you're very happy with that. If you're a non-owner, I don't know, again, if I would wanting to be using the trade in and out, knowing that there is a bit of a short-termness to how long he's going to be making money. The benefit of starting with him is that you didn't use a trade to have him. So you're only using the one trade to sell. So Tuapiki, if you're desperate for a downgrade, who you know will make some money this week and playing, like he's a good play as well in our 17s, then I think he's fine. But just again, you need to weigh up that whole thing, similar to what I said with Hosking. Trading in a guy, trading back out a guy, you put some question marks on like what is a trade worth. To me, a trade is always generally worth about 100K of cash gen, or maybe like 100 points. So I think if you're going to use two trades to get him in and out, I think you want to be getting like 150, 200K of price growth in him. I don't think that's going to happen necessarily. So another reason why Tuapiki, I wouldn't probably look to trade in. Ethan Strange, I assume most people have him already. Danny Levi with a negative 16 break-even. We'll talk about him when we talk about Joey Lussick. Then a few other guys who've got negative break-evens. I'll say it now, Terrell May, if you don't have him, absolute must, I think, trade in this week. He's been named on the bench again, but like I think we've seen enough from him that he could actually just end up being a keeper, front row forward, in a very weak position, just get Tyrell May. Morgan Smithies, if you don't own Smithies this week, similar to Hosking, I think there actually could be some minutes risks with him in the next coming weeks with Corey Horsburgh coming back. Again, we started with him, so we didn't have to use a trade to bring him in. I think I'd actually avoid Smithies if I didn't have him already. Just, I think there's a couple of other options who have emerged, like Finifel Yaki from the Cowboys, who's cheaper than Smithies, who you think can be a reliable play. Kuipis pulls around a similar price. He's been named to start again this week. So that's some of my thoughts on some of those guys who I won't have sections to talk about a little bit later. The rest of the guys I've kind of more or less got something later to talk about. In terms of the guns, so who are the guns that I probably wouldn't sell? I kind of made it clear on Sunday, but for me, Nicho and Cleary, I don't think I'll be looking to sell. I own both of them. Nicho's got the West Tigers this week. Great matchup. Cleary playing at home against the Broncos, who don't have Adam Reynolds. But they do have Payne Haas, has been named, but I don't think he's going to be 100% by the sound of it. So it's going to be a weakened Broncos team playing at home. For me, despite the high break even, 151 and 175 for Cleary and Hines, not looking to sell just because of the circumstances of this week, but also the position itself, you're not really looking at anyone who's jumping out as a must trade in. I know Luke Brooks I was very keen on Sunday, but I think ideally I'd put Brooks in your 5-8 spot, not your halves. And I think Hines and Cleary just still stand out for me as options to keep. SJ is an interesting one. We don't have any clarity on the goal kicking side of things, so I can see an argument to sell. I think the matchup this week is decent. I'm trying to remember who they've actually got this week. I know they're playing at home. They are playing the Raiders. Raiders at home on a Friday. I think that's a pretty good matchup. So you could keep for this 1 week just to get one more week of info, but it does have a high break even. So you could maybe sell to like a Brooks to make money and be a downgrade. Otherwise, I'd probably just, again, look to maybe even trade up to someone like a Cleary or even a Nicho if you don't have him who has the Tigers this week. Gutherson, Moses, I actually think the thing with Moses is that they've got a decent match this week against Manly and then they've got the Tigers next week. So I think with Moses, if you've got him, you can hold him through, I think, because if you held him through last week's match against Penrith, kind of feels like you're in a state to maybe keep holding him as well. But this is one where you maybe have to think about what a downgrade could enable elsewhere in your team. I skipped Ponga for a reason. We'll talk about him in the next section. Same with Gutherson. Cherry Evans, I don't imagine a lot of people own. The likes of Brenton Nicara, you know, he's been suspended for 2 weeks. He wasn't very highly owned. Greg Marzu, news on him, he's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks, potentially even up to 8 weeks. He needs surgery on his hand. So he's a very clear sell. So luckily, he's not going to go down in price this week, but he's like 789K. Very easy move, I think. You know, if you're looking at this list here, a downgrade to Ronaldo Mulitalo, that frees up like 150K, and you're getting a guy with a negative break even. So I think Marzu owners, I think you've got a very clear trade option, and also Mulitalo plays the Tigers this week. So again, you're freeing up money with that one trade and you're going to make money on Mulitalo. I think that's a good move for any Marzu owners out there. And then the other guys are probably not super highly owned. Towards the bottom, we've got Dillbags, Harry Grant, and Tom Trbojevic. 103, 103, and 102 break evens. I'm very much in the camp of holding all of these guys. Again, weakness of the position of hooker. I know you could make bulk cash going Harry Grant to Joey Lussick, but you kind of knew that Grant had the tough start to begin with if you started with him like I have. And you know he's got the bye next week. You knew all of this pre-season. What's changed? Nothing really. And he has got a really good draw after round 6, after he plays the Broncos in round 5. So Grant for me is a guy who, if I sold now, I'm going to want him back by round 6. That's two trades. I think I'm just happy to cop the price loss. And we know any given week he can go 100-plus as well. Turbo, for me, I've got the fullback stats in the next little bit, but he's got the highest base power out of pretty much all the gun fullbacks, like 58. His floor has been really high, 54 last week with no attacking stats. I think he's passed the eye test. Manly are passing the eye test. I think Turbo, for me, is a very clear hold. And Dillbags, the base stats are a little bit down, which is not the best, but I'm going to put last week's game against Penrith down to the Penrith effect. Look, he's a proven gun. They've got a good draw coming up as well, like Tigers next week, a guy who I'm not looking to sell. And then the other guy's a little bit lower owned, so I won't spend too much time. How much will they lose in cash? So there's a great tool that I highly recommend called on NRL Supercoach Stats. I'll actually put a link for it in the chat. So let me know if you guys can see this. So it's a price change calculator, really handy. You can plug in kind of a the second last score that a player got, the most recent score, and then you can put a predicted score for this week and a predicted average, and it will map out for you projected cash rises and losses. Obviously, it's not perfect, but it's a good indicator. And I've got snippets of that in the stream later when we talk about the likes of Lusick, etc. So that's a really handy tool. So you can just like, I won't go through and obviously do it for all of these guys, but say like a Ponga, he's got a break even of 159. No, I'm just gonna actually do it on the fly. You can't see it on my screen because I've got it on my other screen. But let's see, Kalen Ponga, whose last score is 45, second last score is 50. Let's say he scores, it's a weakened Melbourne team. Let's give him 70 this week. And let's say his predicted average is 70 as well. Let's just say that's what he's going to get for the next kind of 4 to 5 weeks. He would lose 84K this week and then another 46. So over 2 weeks, you're looking at about 120K plus of cash losses if he scores 70 and scores 70 again or averages 70 after that. So there will be a big hit in cash this week with KP. But of course, there's an old adage of you don't lose if you don't sell. So that's another thing that you need to consider. But yeah, like I think with Ponga, we'll talk about him very soon. Quick roundup on TLT round three. There wasn't a, I mean, there was actually quite a bit. We've already talked about Hosking and Payne Haas, Sua Wong. There's a lot of back rowers, I think, to sell this week. We already knew that Lukie was out, and now Sua Wong has been dropped, which I was a little bit surprised about as well. Angus Crichton comes into the 17. So I think if you're a Sua Wong owner, he's just been dropped out of the 17 altogether. I think he's probably a sell this week. Kieran Foran named, just relevant for Beau Firmor owners. Finifu Wiaki of the Cowboys has been named to start in Lukie's place. He's definitely a talking point this week. On the Tigers, a couple of cheapies. Lachie Galvin has stayed in the halves with Aiden Caesar. Bud Sullivan's on the 14 jersey. And for Etape, if that's how you pronounce it correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, he's still been named a place this week, because we found out that Stafford Tower is going to be out for about 8 weeks. So that could be good prospects for him for a bottom dollar cheapie. But the only thing is that Brett Naden is in the reserves for the Tigers, so he may take a center spot. So Fatape is again another one who I wouldn't want to trade in this week, but he could maybe be a good exit in round four for like any Jacob Gagai owners out there like myself. So just keep that in your black book, but not a move for this week. Obviously, the big ones towards the bottom, we have no Brendan Hands in the team list for the Eels, so Joey Lusick looks like he could actually get that 80-minute role. He's already had good minutes. And then on the Knight side of things, no Dylan Lucas named in the 17. He's been named in like the 21 jersey. Kai Pierce-Paul named to start with no Dylan Lucas on the bench. So there's a chance that maybe Lucas comes into the 17 on the bench on game day and maybe eats into Kai Pierce-Paul's minutes. But just reading the team list as it is, it looks like Pierce-Paul could be an 80-minute back rower, at least for this week. There could be some minute sharing down the line, but they've got a good draw as well. He's shown somewhat good work rate, 43 base power and about. He's averaged 43 in the last 2 weeks with no major attacking stats. For an edge back rower, that's fine. We know he's got some attacking potential in him as well. So those are just a couple of TLT kind of tidbits. There's a question here from Luke about KPP or Finifu Yaki. I've got a slide on second row forward, so I'll pause that thought, but that's a very common question this week. Probably one of the biggest questions I had this week, most traded out player, Kalen Ponga. What do you do with KP? I'll be honest, I'm not sure. I don't really know. I do own Ponga. And yeah, this is one I'm still battling with myself. I'm just gonna have a quick look at how many people have actually traded him out already. So he's not the most traded out any longer. It's now Lukie, but yeah, Ponga is on like 14,000 trades out. So he's just behind in second place. So a lot of people selling. Funnily enough, the most popular trade in all of Supercoach at the moment is Kalen Ponga to Joey Lusick. So one of the highest break-evens to one of the lowest break-evens this week. But yeah, he is the second most traded out player at the moment. So a couple of questions here I can see from John. Thoughts on Ponga to Pappy, Moses to Cleary. I don't actually mind that, to upgrade Moses. Do you sell Ponga from Austin? Sell Ponga, surely. Turbo scoring a hat-trick this week. So the whole thing of selling, I talked about a few of the guns who I'm not interested in selling. I think KP is in this bucket of ones that we could sell, because he's got a very high break even, so that's 159. The next 2 weeks are not easy by any means. Melbourne, while it's at home, and Melbourne are without Jerome Hughes and Cam Munster, I think Jonah Pezet is perfectly fine in the halves. They've got Tyron Wishart, who is a big step down from Jerome Hughes, who has been really good. But Melbourne just seem to be playing still very well, and I can still see that being like a bit of a grindy game, not many points in it. One thing I should have mentioned as well with the Knights team list is that Jackson Hastings has been axed and Jack Cogger is made his way into the halves. I was very surprised by that. I thought Tyson Gamble would be the one who would get the flick first. So there's a few, like, I'll be honest, my gut is telling me sell Ponga. And the reasons are, like, I think at this time of year when you're looking to make upgrades in your team, you need the cash. I think, and let's assume people are doing a boost this week. Let's assume you're doing three trades. I think selling one gun to make two meaningful upgrades elsewhere in your team is worth it. Situational to, of course, the gun that you're selling. Like, if KP had Dolphins, Tigers, Dragons, hypothetically next three, there's no way I'd be selling, because I'm just like, yes, he might lose cash, but I think there's a good chance of big points there. I could captain him, and so I want to keep on to him. Whereas he's got Melbourne, that's not easy. Warriors away in round four, I don't think that's going to be easy too. Dragons in round five, yes, I think at home that could be a really good matchup, and he could be a very good option that week. And then you've got the Roosters at home in round six. So again, I'd say three of the next four are not easy. And I'm looking at it as, you know, while we had the halfbacks of Hines, Cleary as a very tough spot with not many good quality options, fullback is just stacked. There are so many good options there. There's so many guys that you can trade down to free up money, avoid a cash loss on Ponga, and you can always look to trade him back in round seven. But the thing with KP is that, you know, while some of the guys, like, you know, I mentioned with Grant, if you trade him out, you're probably going to want him back round sixth. I'd say that's almost a certainty. Same with the Hines or Cleary. If you trade him out very quickly, these are the kind of guys you want to get back. The thing with Ponga, because it's such a deep position, you could sell him and you may just be able to move to someone else and they score just as good as Ponga or maybe even better because there's so many options in that position. And, you know, I looked at Latrell as someone who could maybe fit the bill. I mentioned it on my Instagram story earlier. Like, if you are looking to actually play fullback roulette, swap around your fullbacks, you can get in Latrell, say, this week. That frees up about 100K. Yes, this week's tough against the Roosters, but then round four against the Bulldogs is fine. Warriors is not great, but it is at home at least, and then it's the Sharks. The thing with Latrell is a very clear window to sell him in round seven because he's got the bye followed by Melbourne and Penrith. You're not going to want him over that three-game run. So come round six or round seven, you can make a direct move either back to Ponga, who may have dropped maybe 100K, 120K in price in that time. Latrell maybe has gone up a little bit because I believe he's got a 35 break even. Or you could even move to a Reece Walsh, who round six has got Dolphins, Raiders, West Tigers. Looks a great prospect at that point. You could even go to Pappy in round six. Pappy's got Bulldogs in round six. Then he's got Roosters, Rabbitohs, Titans. Like, there are other options that if you sold Ponga, you don't have to go back to him. So you're not necessarily you're not wasting two trades to go Ponga out, Ponga back in. He could very well be the guy that you trade back in, but it's not a certainty. Whereas with a lot of those other guns, it does feel more like a certainty. So yeah, my gut is actually telling me I think he's a sell, and I think it's fine. And this is something I mentioned to the Whisperer when I was just messaging him earlier today, because we talk about this stuff like all the time. I've historically had a problem where I'm too faithful, I think, to the guns. I'm just like, no, the guns are guns, set and forget. But I always find that the people who always will do the best in Supercoach or get those really high ranks, they take these risks of moving off a gun player when, you know, I think the Knights themselves in attack, I think we can all say have been very clunky. Changing the halves, obviously that's another mix-up. No Greg Marzu, so that's a small thing that's changed in their team as well. You know, they'll be desperate for a win, obviously. And yes, he could hurt me, but you're trading him to other good options as well. So my gut is telling me I think Ponga could be a sell. Like, just because of those other factors, tough draw, could lose cash. You could move back to him in round six or round seven, or you could move to someone else. And it's just a function, I think, more of the Knights as well. You know, they're not looking very functional in attack. So I begin to see what you guys think. A lot of you were saying sell Ponga. I did a poll on Twitter, I think yesterday. I think it was saying about 57% were going to sell him and the remainder not going to sell him. So I think the majority are looking to sell him. And whilst it's a bit scary to sell a gun, I think this one could work out just from a cash point of view. And, you know, that kind of money, for example, I gave that scenario of when selling a gun could work. You sell Ponga down to like maybe Teddy or Pappy. 200 or 190K freed up straight away. That's Haylen Lucky up to like Olokoatu, for example, maybe. Or you go Hailemluki down to Finifuliaki, Ponga down to, say, a Teddy, and then all of a sudden you've got money for, I don't know, Spencer Lenu to, like, Tino. So you're kind of, you are still getting a gun, and you're improving, like, that trade scenario is kind of like Ponga to Teddy, maybe a slight drop-off in points, but freeing up a lot of cash. Luki's injured anyway, so you're getting a better option who could make cash in Finifuliaki, and you're getting an absolute gun upgrade in front row forward. Those are the kind of like three trade scenarios where selling a gun I kind of like, because you are getting meaningful upgrades elsewhere in your team. So that's my thoughts on Ponga. Turbo, as I mentioned, I think he's a clear hold, really strong base power stats, average of 58. I think you're for Drinkwater owner. I know he's got a very high break even as well at 132, but I'd be sticking with him. Dragons this week, Broncos, but at least it's at home. Then the Titans. Like, I think these are games where, you know, Drinkwater, at least we know with the Cowboys, they've scored points and they've looked good in attack. And I think Drinkwater, just the points just haven't fallen to him. Knights attack hasn't looked the best and it's been very frustrating. So at least I've got a bit more confidence in the Cowboys attack. So Drinkwater, I would be holding as well. So Turbo Drinky, I'd be holding. You could even maybe move down to Drinkwater if you wanted to trade. But obviously you're going to lose some money either way. So I probably wouldn't do that. You'd probably want to downgrade to a guy who's a much more cheaper option. So that's my general thoughts on Ponga. Let me know what you guys think. I'm keen to see what you guys think in the chat. I might even scroll up and see what you're all saying. So Luke's saying, going to keep KP. Sometimes you got to set and forget. I think that's true. I definitely agree with that. I'm applying that logic with Harry Grant. I think set and forget for Grant. I'm applying that logic as well with like Hines and Cleary, because until another halfback option really screams that these guys are going to be better than Hines Cleary, setting forgetting with them. So I agree with your thinking. I'm just applying it to different guns than I am with, say, KP. Steez is saying, I was at Suncorp and Latrell looks so lazy, I can't go near him. There is a thing with Latrell where, you know I mentioned there's a strategy where you could go him and you can do like a very easy swap round 7 to another fullback gun. But yeah, eye test wise, Latrell is frustrating. I know he scored well last week, but it did involve a very, very late line break try with a few tackle busts as well. Shane saying, tempted to go Drinky with that draw. Yeah, this is the thing. I think selling Ponga enables some other options. In terms of the best replacements, let's say if you are selling KP, a few people are actually going for some center wing shouts like a Mulatalo or for a Val Holmes. To be honest, those are probably the only two centers I'd actually consider selling Ponga for, because I think there's enough good fullback options that you could move to, but I don't hate that, because let's say Pappy's the one you really want, but he could score very well this week. He's got a low break even of 22. If he scores like, say, 70, 80, he might go up to like 700K, still fairly cheap. Then he's got the bye, then the Broncos, and then he could be maybe 720K by round 6, which is still not super expensive for what we know Pappy can do. And then he's got the Bulldogs in round 6. Over the next 3 weeks, you could have someone like a Mulatalo who's got Tigers. I think they've got the Raiders, and then they've got the bye. So Mulatalo could just be a short-term stepping stone. Or maybe you get Val Holmes, because he's got Dragons and Titans in the next three. Maybe he's a stepping stone then back to one of these other fullbacks. So I also don't mind that hokey cokey as well. In terms of the fullbacks that I would be prioritizing if you're selling Ponga this week, again, my gut is telling me the guy who I'd want the most is probably Pappenhausen. Probably a bit of a biased thing. I love Pappy. He's been one of those guys who every time I've had him, he's always done well for me in terms of points. So Pappy would be the one I think who I'd want, but I don't like this week to trade him in because of that bye round 4 and then Broncos round 5. The Knights matchup is good, don't get me wrong. Like, I know I've got it color shaded red, but I think that's a game where he could score very well. So there's a benefit of him being very cheap. You know, he's 200K plus cheaper than Ponga. So I think if he's the guy who money saving wise enables your other upgrades you want in your team, I think Pappy is fine. I own Harry Grant, so I kind of don't also want to have Harry Grant and Pappenhausen out both at the same time in round 4. So for my own personal situation, I probably won't go Pappy myself, but I think he'd be the guy who I'd want to get just pure based on value at his price tag, and we know the ceiling he has, 132 last week. Like, I think obviously not having goal kicking is not the best, but he's averaged like 100 plus in the past, and I think even if you took away the 20 points he may have been getting from goal kicking, we're still looking at like an 80 averaging player. He's still a gun without goal kicking. So yeah, Pappy's probably the guy who I would prefer the most, but I think it doesn't feel like a good entry point this week. Teddy For me, I know he's looked good, but I feel like he's been super, super involved and still only led to like, well, I say still, but it's a 70 and 103. And I feel like if someone like a Turbo had the games that Teddy's had, Turbo would be getting like 120, 130. Same with Reese, maybe same with Latrell, maybe same with Pappy. I just feel like Teddy needs to do more than these other guys to like match them points wise. If you look at the draw point of view, it's a bit up and down as well. You know, Rabbitohs this week obviously is a, you know, local derby. Then it's Penrith around four, not great. Bulldogs away in five is good, but then it's Knights away, Melbourne at home, Dragons. It's just a very up and down draw. And I kind of feel like what's, again, this is like mental gymnastics that I play with myself. With Latrell, it's a very clear window to sell round seven. So the decision to sell him is super easy. If you've got someone like a Teddy and you know that he's got like a couple of tough games and then a good game or two, you're kind of always like, oh, I'll kind of, maybe I want to move off him, but then, oh, he's got this good game coming up, so I don't want to sell. He could come out and be the option, but like personally, my vibe is actually not to go Teddy. I know the Roosters have looked decent in defense. Attack still not super slick. There's no Luke Keary as well for the Roosters, and I think that will hurt Teddy as well. I think there may be a risk of him doing what he did last year, which was trying too hard, and it kind of capped actually how effective he was. I know, Michael, you're saying being involved is a good thing. Definitely. Like, I mean, Teddy and Latrell, chalk and cheese. Like, Teddy's going to be super involved in every set. Latrell, you have no idea when he's going to get involved. But generally, when he does, it leads to points. So I still do prefer Latrell over Teddy. I think better matchup coming up sooner in round four, plus his goal kicking, which I do like. And you avoid a Penrith matchup. Penrith are obviously, of course, the best defense in the comp. So I think I prefer Latrell. Again, Reece Walsh, I think, is a really good option, but round six feels like the time that I get him. Penrith this week doesn't feel great. He's probably going to be goal-kicking this week, which maybe offsets a bad score. But again, Cowboys, I think, is a good matchup for scoring, but then Melbourne. So two of the next three I don't love. So again, I feel like round six is the week that I'd want to be getting Reece Walsh. So there's flaws with all of these guys. Drinkwater's maybe the one, but the next three, I may even consider just going Val Holmes instead if I do sell Ponga, or maybe Mulatalo. So yeah, definitely things to consider. I think if I had to give my rankings, if you are selling Ponga, like Turbo I've already established, I think is a firm hold. If you're trading this week, obviously Drinkwater's got the best matchup this week. So I'd probably say Drinky number one. I appreciate not a lot of people are going him because he doesn't save that much money. So I'd still say of your Ponga replacements, Drinky. Then I'd probably go Latrell, then probably Walsh, and then Pappy, and then Teddy. That feels very harsh on Teddy, putting him last, but the reason I'm putting him last, I just don't feel he has the, I mean, it sounds stupid to say because he's averaging more than most of these other guys, but just over the long term, I still feel like those other guys are going to be more reliable to score bigger than him on any given week. Pappy's only lower because he's got the bye. I think if Pappy had a bye in like round 8 or round 9, I'd probably say go straight to Pappy. And obviously the money saving you get from him is the best. So you just need to look at your own team, see what your trades situation is going to look like with money. But that's what I'm thinking. And of course, if you're not enthralled by any of these guys and you're not really sure, I like what some people are saying. Like Heaps Suss is saying going Ronaldo for the next two games till the bye in round 5, and then you go to Ponga. Again, similar to what I said with Latrell, you've got a very clear window. If you've got 2 weeks with Ronaldo, obviously there's a risk in that you're booking in trades, but you go 2 weeks to Ronaldo, you make some money, hopefully get some points against the Tigers and Raiders, and then round 5, very clear sell, potentially just back to Ponga, who's got the Dragons in round 5. So that's probably a position where you've got most of your team is well set up and you've got the flexibility to do some more luxury trades. Then that's maybe a situation you could do, or maybe to swap like to a Val Holmes. You know, if you've got duels, you can go Ponga to, you know, if you've got like a Tuipiki, for example, who's got fullback status, you can go Ponga to Val Holmes via your duels. So anyway, that's enough, I think, on fullbacks. I had another slide on the whole roulette and the difficulty. I put a post on this on Twitter and Instagram already, so I won't go through this again. But yeah, that's my take on the whole Ponga situation and fullback. So give the stream a like if that's what you are waiting for. But I'll see a few questions from people related to that. Yeah, Luke, I get your point. You don't have the trades to move Ponga on. Just going to pray for him this week. And that's fine. Like, at the end of the day, Ponga is a gun. it was only like, what, 2 weeks ago, I was like, Ponga is close to a must-have. We obviously weren't expecting the Knights to be looking how they are. And so again, all information changes, things change. But like at the end of the day, if you can hold on to Ponga, it's not a bad thing. But it's just a thing, it's an avenue for people to make money elsewhere in their team. Yeah, Nick, I get what you're saying here. Have to remember that this is the Dally M medalist. Scorching run of form at the back end of last year, like Turbo, Ponga is a seriously scary player to not own. That's true as well. Like, and he was close, you know, round one, he had that line break try assist that got called back, so he didn't get those extra points from that one. Looked close on a couple of occasions last week as well. But I don't know, it just feels again like a bit of a team issue with the Knights, which is making me lean towards maybe thinking that I could move on KP. And as I have not actually firmed up my trades yet, so I still could even hold on to Ponga. I've got a three trade scenario that gets me, like, I think it gets me Lusick, Cotter, and Kaipias Paul, and I can afford all of those for, like, you know, Lukey, Lenu, and Danny Levi, and I don't even need to sell Ponga to afford all of that. So, like, I've got flexibility, but yeah. Yeah, you're trading out Ponga. He's going to drop 65 this week. I guess that's the thing as well. Like, what do you regret more? You sell Ponga and he scores like 120 and doesn't lose that much in cash, or you hold him and then let's say he goes bad and then he drops heaps in cash. Like, which one would you be more annoyed about? Maybe that's the way that you need to lean towards. All right. Next big hot topic of the week I wanted to talk about was the hookers, Danny Levi and Joey Lusick. So Joey Lusick, negative 54 break even. So he's obviously going to be making lots of money. And if you're like me, you've currently got Danny Levi as your backup hooker. So what do you do in this situation? So I've seen a few people online saying, and fair enough, they're saying, look, Danny Levi's got a negative break even, so why would you sell him this week? He's going to make money. Sorry, let me just interrupt this thought. So Nariak, on your question about what's the least Ponga will lose this week, I kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, but let's say, even if you give Ponga, say, 100 this week, and let's say he averages 75, he'll drop about 60k. So I think realistically, you're probably going to lose maybe in a good week 60 to 65k. But yes, if he scores 150, he loses pretty much nothing, as Benny G says. But yeah, so back to the Danny Levi, Joey Lusick situation. Oh, you know what? I'm going to experiment with this. I think there's a way I can do polls. I think I can do polls in this thing. Start a poll. Levi to Lusick, are you doing it? Question mark. Yes, no, start poll. Hopefully that doesn't break the stream. But yeah, I'm interested to see what you guys think, if anyone owns Levi. So yeah, Luke, again, I've mentioned your name a lot this stream, but you make a good point. I'm a Harry Grant owner. He's got the buy next week. Danny Levi, despite scoring 45 and 39, if you've watched the games, he's been fortunate to get those scores. Like, he scored, maybe not fortunate in the first week, like that scoot from dummy half line break try. He can do that in any given week, potentially. But last week's try was a bit of a gift. And like, look, even if you just take out the tries, keep all the other stats, we're looking at scores of 32? No, not even. I can't even do maths correctly. We're looking at 28, and we're looking at 22. 28 and 22. If you didn't score those two tries, like, and we knew Levi was going to be like this, like, we weren't expecting big things, but at the same time, we also didn't have any idea as to who was the other good hooker option. We've now, I think, got that in Joey Lusick. So I've run the maths as well. So of course I've run the maths. I'm a numbers person. So what I did was, on NRL Supercoach stats price calculator, I projected a 30 average for Danny Levi and for him to score 30 this week. I think that's fair to say he's going to average 30 based on what we've seen the last 2 weeks and his amount of base stats, which is, it still shocks me that a middle forward, look, I'm not a rugby player, of course, so I shouldn't maybe be making this comment, but like, it still shocks me that a guy who plays 55 plus minutes in the middle of the field has a base of 20 and 18. Like, what is he doing? Like, is he just like flopping on guys? Like, how is he not making more than like 25 tackles? You know, if he plays 55 minutes, like, that's like what? A tackle once every 2 minutes just to get 25 in base. He's got base of 20 and 18. I don't know what's doing. Anyway, so Look, with Levi, I've given him a 30 average. He'll make 38K on that basis in round one, then 15.6K, then 4K. Basically, it stops very quick. So you can see in the table below me, I've got like a cumulative projected profit. For Danny Levi, that caps out after round seven at about 63K. So you make 38K in the first week, and then about, what have I got? Yeah, you make another 16K in the second week. So you make 60 something K. You make 55K in the first 2 weeks. With Lusick, so he's scored 61, 82. Now, yes, he did also get attack and stats in both of those 2 weeks, but I do feel like they're a bit more reliable, or like I could believe the attacking stats a little bit more. His base average is 37. I believe he got about 55 in base power last week. So to kind of smooth things out a little bit for Lusick, I've given him a 50 average, which I think is reasonable. So with a 50 average and with his break even at minus 54, he would make 87K this week, then 56K the week after that, then 15K, then 10K. But basically, in terms of cumulative price growth, in the next 3 weeks, he could make 157K. So say if you look at round five, 157K for Levi, 58K. So again, one of the points I made earlier in the stream, how much is a trade worth to you? I would say a trade is generally going to be worth about 100K in price gen or cash gen. And I think you're going to get that with Lusick, as long as this minutes rotation stays the same and not having Brendan Hands on the bench is very encouraging. I think you're going to get this 100K back in your trade, and you're going to get a very reliable scorer who you can have play if your first hooker gets injured. Harry Grant owners, you've got a guy that you can plug in round four that won't make you feel as nervous as if you had to roll out Danny Levi. And look, Lusick could be a good stepping stone to like Appy Coruscant. You could end up having a combination of Appy Coruscant and Harry Grant in a few weeks. So I do like this trade of Levi to Lusick, despite Levi making money this week. For me, the trade still looks like it's going to pay off. And the thing with Levi is that, yes, he's got a negative break even this week, but like, is it going to be crazy if Levi goes out and scores 20 for the rest, or 20 to 25 points, and you're going to make maybe a maximum of 50K, and then that's about it. So like, I don't know. I feel like I want to get Lusick in just for some my own peace of mind. I know that's going to cost me a little bit less than 100K. It's going to cost you about 80K to make that upgrade, but I think you're going to get that 100K back and potentially more with Lusick at his price tag. So I think it's a worthwhile trade from a money point of view and a numbers point of view. If obviously you've got other fires to fight in your team and you have to hold Danny Levi, at least you'll make some money this week. You can maybe then do the move next week, because if you make the move, say, next week, you've made a loss on the amount of cash that you could make of about 49, 50K. So all you have to factor in is that if your plan is Levi to Lusick next week, just because you've got three other trades you need to do this week, just with your own calcs, just factor in that you may have to pay 50K more to do that move next week. But again, that's one of the things that I'm happy to go Lusick this week. Matt's saying doing Harry Grant to Lusick outscores Grant, gains 150K. Grant loses 50 to 200K swing and more points. So Matt, the only reason I'm not keen on that, I mentioned it earlier in the stream, is I think round six, Grant is going to be one of the most popular traded in players, is my prediction, because Melbourne Storm have a great run. Munster is probably going to be back by then. I think the team, I mean, obviously we don't know what's going to happen in the future with injuries, but I think that team is going to be looking really strong. And I think he's going to be the guy that you're wanting to have in your hooker spot. Round six, it's already round three. If you've traded out Grant, I think you're going to want him back pretty soon. Now, I guess we said the same thing with Ponga, but the difference is that I think Harry Grant is a very clear guy as to who you're going to want to trade back to. With Ponga, you've got other options who you might not necessarily trade Ponga back in for. So I don't love the Grant to Lusick move. I know it frees up a lot of money, but that's my view on it. Roger Duckling saying, what if you already have Lusick? Happy days. You've done very well. Keep him and ride the cash growth, hopefully. If you're a Levi and Lusick owner, you keep both of them. I think, Grant's got not the easiest matchup. Then he has a bye. Coruscant may be an option, but I think you ride it out with these two while they're making money. Just Saying says he doesn't tackle. He just falls back on the defense. Yeah, cool. There you go. Faden, what should I do with Ponga? We spent a long time talking about fullbacks in the previous section, so I just recommend going back a little bit, and you should be able to see everything that you want to hear about Ponga. Okay, Matt, so what you're saying is you trade him out with the aim to get back for a 200k swing with more points. That's fair enough. I guess the only thing, again, what I'm saying is that is, I mean, if you think it's going to be 200k swing for two trades, it's probably just about worth it. But for me, it's always, again, the risk of if I know that's the guy I want to get back, if I trade him out and I know I want him to get and I know I want to get him back, but other stuff just crops up and I have to deal with it before I get Grant in, then it's a bit more difficult. So I get what you're saying though, but like for my own peace of mind, I don't love playing that kind of roulette with Harry Grant. With the fullback spot, I feel a little bit easier to do that. Brandon Smith to Lusick from Luke. So I think I'm going to quickly remind myself of the Roosters team list because I believe Connor Watson has been named in the 17 as well, because I think Sander Smith has been named in the halves. Yeah, Sander Smith has been named at 5'8". So yeah, Connor Watson is on the bench. Brandon Smith to Lusick. How much money are you going to get by doing that move? You'll get about 160k, which is quite a bit. 48 and 37. Yeah, look, I think Lusick can match that, if not beat that, with better attacking stats and also a better draw. I'd be happy to make that move down from Brandon Smith to Lusick. I think you free up some good money, and I think you can match them with points. James is saying sell him Jeremy Marshall King to Lusick, then should have the money in round six to move Levi to Grant. Worst case, you're comfortable holding. Yeah, in that situation, I understand a little bit more. Like JMK, while he scored good last week, does have a very good draw, but he is on the bye this week, so I kind of get that move. But again, JMK, if you started with him, he's a gun. You could just be holding him as well. This is the thing with Lusick. Lusick is just a good backup option as well. Levi or Little to Lusick. Shane, I think I would just do Little because he's out this week. As at least Levi's playing and will make money for you this week. Little's not been named at all. I'd probably just go Little, and you also make money doing that trade as well. Hold or trade Ponga from Fadin. I went on a very long rant about it before, but yeah, long story short, my gut is telling me sell. Lusick to be the number two hooker, baby. Bold prediction. Yeah, let's hope that's the case. All right, so that's on the Levi Lusick situation. A few questions earlier in the chat were about second row forwards. Now, I had this whole slide prepped up ready for talking you all into Zach Hosking. Then he's been named on the bench. And so, look, I've got Zach Hosking stats, but as I mentioned earlier in the stream, I just don't think he's an option that you can consider. So, yeah, not one that I'll be recommending at the moment. So, other second row forwards who I think people are looking at this week, you've got Josh Curran, Kypius Paul, Finifuliaki. I think I've absolutely butchered the spelling of that. That is so bad. I think that's correct. And then maybe like an Adam Elliott of the Newcastle Knights. Faden, I'm not going to answer any more questions, so apologies about fullbacks. We spent so much time talking about it, I don't want to cover it again. I just recommend going back and rewatching that. So on the second of forwards, so Austin is saying, is Kai Pierce-Paul a good option? So I guess, one of the questions earlier was Kai Pierce-Paul or Finifuliaki this week. I think if you're looking for, let's assume you're selling Wong or Lukie. I think if you're looking for a trade-in this week, it's a bit tough because the Knights play the very last game of the round, and I think there could maybe be a chance that Dylan Lucas comes onto the bench at some point. But assuming the team lists are as they are currently, I think Kai Pierce-Paul is the one who I'd be preferring to get this week. Because while they're coming up against Melbourne, it is a weakened team without Jerome Hughes and also no Munster. So if you're looking, if I'm thinking on the edge that Hughes plays on the right-hand side, Kai Pierce-Paul will be running at Tyrone Wishart instead. I think there's maybe some chances of potentially some attacking stats there. Thing with Finifuliaki as well is that I just don't love the bench for him. Like, I don't think Finifuliaki is going to be an 80-minute back row anyway, but he does have Jack Kaczewski on the bench, who I think will play some minutes on the edge. If I had to guess, Finifuliaki is probably going to be playing similar to Lukie, maybe 50 to 55 minutes. So I think I'd go for Kai Pierce-Paul this week. More likely, I think, to be getting the 80 minutes. And I think maybe the matchup is decent, although Finifuliaki's matchup is very good as well, of course, against the Dragons. In terms of a break-even point of view, I haven't actually got it up on screen, but I'll quickly find it out for you. So Pierce-Paul break-even is 12, so probably likely to make some money this week. Finifuliaki, I think, had a break-even of... he's got a break-even of 21. So again, Pierce Paul's got a slightly lower break-even. In terms of a value, I think he's... Pierce Paul's priced at about 33. He's probably going to be more likely around the 43 or the 45. So you're getting at least 10 points of value. But again, comes down to your team. If you downgrade from Lukey to Finifuliaki, does that extra 50k get you an upgrade more than you can with Kai Pierce Paul? Then I think go Finifuliaki. But yes, otherwise, Pierce Paul would be the one that I'd be looking at. I don't think he's a slam dunk by any means, just because Dylan Lucas has been named on that in that squad. He could be back on the bench next week, or he could even just take Pierce Paul's spot in the starting lineup, and Pierce Paul goes back to the bench. So if you've got any doubts about Kai Pierce Paul, like with a break-even of 12, he'll go up a little bit in price, but he won't be like super expensive. He could be maybe like, you know, 380, 390k. So of the two, I'd pick Kai Pierce Paul, but again, not a slam dunk trade. I think this week, I still think there are some doubts about him with Dylan Lucas, but we know Pierce Paul has got ability to get attacking stats, and he played 80 minutes last week, which was encouraging. At least we know he's got the fitness to play 80 minutes. One last thing on Tuaresse also is Josh Curran. So Lukey, I think if you are selling Lukey, I think Curran is probably the more obvious guy who I would be moving to, 421k. I think the minutes he's got in the last 2 weeks, 63 and 60, I don't think he would be playing any more minutes than that. But I think with that kind of minutes, he's probably safe for like a 55 average. We know that he's got some ability to get attacking stats. He got 2 line break assists on the weekend, so he got a score of 76. He's got a negative 8 break even, so he will make money. So I think if you are prioritizing a second or forward amongst this list, yeah, Curran would be the one who I'd be looking at, just because he's got a negative 8 break even. I'll take this question from Oliver Rogers, which is, Lukey to Curran, or do I move Cotter into second or forward and buy Terrell May? For sure, I think Terrell May would be more of a priority than Curran, in my opinion. He's got a slightly lower break-even, but also I think Terrell May is just more like 55 minutes, he's probably going to get like 65 average. He could generally be a keeper. With Curran, we still don't know fully yet the minutes situation, because the first 2 games have had circumstances which meant that his minutes were probably a little bit inflated. So yeah, Oliver, in your situation, I think Terrell May would be the priority. Like, I'd prioritize Terrell May over Josh Curran this week as a trade-in. So Hamish is asking, would I rather go Lenu to Curran or Lukey to Hosking? Hosking, I don't think, is an option. I go back to the beginning of the stream when I looked at the more break-even focused slide. I talk about Hosking, and I just don't basically think that the negative 56 break-even is still worth it when he's coming off the bench. So yeah, in that situation, I would go Lenu to Curran. Adam Elliott, a shout, yeah, this was a bit of a shout out to the SE Whisperer, of course, you know, boost for Elliott, one of his biggest fans. I've just put him here, like, he scored well last week with the 2 tries, but not even just for the 2 tries, his base stats were good. Like, he had base of 58 in 69 minutes, so the minutes were good. He only played 52 minutes in the week before that, so again, he's an option at 518k, but I think I'd probably still rather go Curran, just for the money saving, or maybe, like, I'd probably go Curran for the money saving, or if you're going around that price tag, there is a section later on, some other more pod buys, something like a Nanai, I also don't hate. We saw the Cowboys draw, it was pretty good, safe for 80 minutes, he's actually scored pretty well the first 2 weeks as well. I'd probably rather actually pay up a little bit more for like a Nanai, compared to someone like a Adam Elliott. Just on Curran, dual second row forward 5'8", not 5'8", dual front row forward 2RF, my honest opinion is that I don't think it will happen, just because coming off the bench, yes, he plays through the middle, but I think Supercoach need to see him probably being named in the prop position, like, to start, for them to actually give him this front row forward spot. So I think they need to see 3 games of him in prop before they actually give him the duel, because otherwise there's so many guys who, you know, come off the bench, play a bit of a hybrid middle edge role, and they don't get given front row forward status. So I think while we want it all to happen, I just don't think it's going to happen, in my honest opinion. I hope I'm proven wrong, but I don't think it's going to happen. Christian saying, who should I bring in, Curran or Lane? Now, of those two, I'd probably bring in Lane, Longer term, he's got the certainty of an 80-minute edge role. With Kyren, we still just don't know that yet. So for the job security and the role, I'd probably take Sean Lane. Thoughts on Samuel Afainu? So yeah, he obviously looked good on the weekend, came off the bench, and I think he ended up playing like 58 minutes with a base of 45, very solid, 263K. So again, there's a couple of other second or forward downgrade options that seem to be emerging. He's a good option. Again, I wouldn't look to trade him in this week, purely because his price won't change this week, but it will change next week. So I'm happy to give it another week, see what happens. I believe Fanui Pole has been named for the West Tigers in the lock spot. And so I just want to see what happens with the middle rotation over there. But yeah, no, he definitely could be a prospect next week for sure that we'd be talking about. Section on 5'8", question mark from Liam. We do have one. A very quick one that I wanted to cover off was Pauasa Famasuli to Liam Henry. I haven't actually seen this be a very popular trade, and I just figure it's because people have other fires that they need to fight in their team. I will say though, if you've got a luxury trade and you've got stuff right in your team, you just want to fix up an error, I think Pauasa Famasuli to Liam Henry is a fine move. No James Fisher-Harris been named for Penrith Panthers this week. I think Henry's just likely to get you around a mid-30s, high-30s average. And so, again, I did a price change estimate on him. After about 6 weeks, he'd make about 108K, 31K this week, about 23, 18. So it'd be a bit more of a slow burn, but he could be someone, I think, you know, who still makes you at least 100K. With Pauasa Famasuli, he hasn't been named this week. The minutes didn't look good anyway. Round one, he only played 19 minutes. So I think Liam Henry, role-wise, looks more secure. So I think this trade is worth it from a cash gen point of view. But again, I would prioritize this below the likes of going like Lukey out. You know, I'd even prioritize Danny Levi to Joey Lusick over a move like this. So it's a good move, but I think you need to prioritize it with other trades. And like, this may be people's fourth or fifth most important trade. So if you can't do it, don't stress too much about it. Like Liam Henry, I mean, I'm probably playing him this week. Hopefully he scores big and makes more money, but I think the reasonable estimate is that he gets about 30K of price gen this week. So we have got a section on 5'8", just on some other buyers. So this might be relevant for some people like Just Sane and Cy Real, who are talking about Jamin Salmon. You think the Salmon's train has reached the station. Salmon train broke down well before it ever left the station. I agree more with that comment. So, you know, a couple of cheapy options in center wing who people may be able to look to if they're selling the likes of Hutchinson or Jamin Salmon. Just quickly on them, I think eventually if you can look to upgrade them, then I think that's probably fine. Because, yeah, I think just their role, not necessarily Hutchinson's role, but Salmon's role, we haven't fully seen it the first two rounds, but even with decent minutes, he still just seems to be around this mid-30s average. And I think you've got other options who you could, move to. Two of those options are Xavier Savage and Jesse Arthurs. I know Moz, shout out to you on Twitter, had asked about what about Jesse Arthurs. So Jesse Arthurs and that whole left edge of the Broncos looked really good last week. The only issue is, again, the next three games, draw-wise, pretty tough. Penrith this week, actually it's an away game, not a home game. Let me fix that up. So it's a Penrith game away, then it's Cowboys, and then Melbourne. It's not the easiest, but round six, we might go to Jesse Arthurs because he has looked good, but he has relied on attacking stats. Like, he scored a 48 and a 57. But I'm just going to have a quick look here. I believe he had a fair amount of attacking stats. Yeah, he scored 28 in base, 16 in base the first two rounds. Got a try assist in the first week with a line break assist, and then also got a try last week and a try assist as well for 48 and 57. So he could make some money, but he's not a must trade in with a break even of two and the tough draw. Xavier Savage, I think there was a question about him earlier in the stream as well. Negative 14 break even, so looks set to make good money. He has scored two tries in the first 2 weeks. The Raiders have looked good, so 43 and 71 in his first two rounds. I actually haven't run a price change calculator on him, but I'll do it just now because I can. He's got pretty low base, so let's give him a projected average of maybe, I might give him 45. Let's say 45, which is safe for him getting a try every week. So with a 45 average, he'd make about 47K this week, 36K the week after, and then only about 5K. So he may make about 100K if you're switching a Salmon. But again, I've had reservations about Savage just because of the Raiders. I feel like are not a team who generally do well for their outside backs in terms of Supercoach point scoring. Low base stats as well, so he could make some money the first 2 weeks, but then I think after that, I'm just not overly keen in general just because of the low base stats, but I could be wrong about that. What about Mariner? The only issue with Mariner is his price. He looked really good, got that great chip and chase try last week as well, but he's 570k. I just don't think he's offering value at this point in time. So I think you either get value or you get big gun points, and I don't think he fits neither. So that's the only reason why I broke Boyer. I haven't mentioned him earlier. Mentioned Nanai a little bit earlier before at 583k. Maybe it's a bit of a pod option in your second row forward if you are looking for an upgrade there. 86 and 63 in his first 2 weeks. Good matchups with the Dragons and then the Titans coming up in the first in the next 3 weeks, I should say. In your front and forward spot, Cotter. So we liked Cotter a lot in the preseason. We still like him as an upgrade in your front row forward spot. 542k. 70 points last week, which I think 65 was in base. I do think that was inflated a little bit because the game went into extra time. But we know he's a guy who, the minutes have been good, 52, 65. I think when he's averaged over 55 minutes, he's historically been a guy who's averaged over 60. I think he's priced at about a low 50s. So you are getting value out of him. He's not a flashy pick. He's just a very safe option to upgrade your front row forward. So he's got a break even of 45, so he's not going to change massively in price. So you could maybe defer this move until round four to maybe give yourself another week on the on the front row forward situation. I'm seeing a few shouts max here for Josh Kerr. I've got a front row forward slide later as well. But yeah, Josh Kerr, I know first 2 weeks he's actually put up some decent base power stats for his and decent PPM as well. So he could be a nice little upgrade from Spencer Lenu for not that much difference in price, and he's got a negative 25, I think, break even. Big Chunga says, who would you trade Palacio to? Only option I can afford is Cotter and already have Terrell May. I think you've answered your own question, Big Chunga. I think I would just get Ruben Cotter if in that position. That's the other thing. Lukey's injury obviously did help Cotter, but we got this news with Tamalolo on his cartilage issue in his knee. Thomas McKayley hasn't been named on the bench, so the bench in terms of the makeup of edges and middles is the same as last week. So I still think Cotter minutes wise should be good. So yeah, hopefully Cotter still sticks with playing the good minutes. That's kind of, I guess, my thoughts on him. And Mulatalo, obviously got a very low break even of negative 24, West Tigers and then Raiders is good before the bye in round five. We talked about him a little bit earlier with the whole, you could sell Ponga for him for a 2 week play and then maybe trade back to KP. The only word of caution I give with Mulatalo is he's gone great the first 2 weeks, 8,716. I own him in draft. He's been great. But in any given week, the ball could just go down the right-hand side. It could be Sione Katoa, Jesse Raymond show, and he gets 25 points. He can be a very annoying own. So that's the only word of caution I'll give with Mulatalo. But if you're willing to play that game, targeting the West Tigers matchup. Xavier Savage scored 73 playing on the left wing for the Raiders against the Titans last week. But yes, I think Mulatalo, I don't know if I would go there yet myself, but I can see the value in the low break even and a really good matchup this week. Potentially a nice little play. Round five, he could be your ticket to maybe a Pappy via duels or maybe back to Ponga as we discussed. So yeah, don't mind that play. But that would be, I think, the play I would use with Mulatalo just because he's got that buy in round five. And that's the other thing as well that Just Sane says, that Hines loves the right side more against teams like the Tigers. I mean, I don't know how much, I haven't really fully read into that in terms of the stats of where, points are scored against the Tigers, but that's something to consider. David is saying, rather go Talakai than Mulatalo. Yeah, that's the other thing. Talakai's actually been really good as well. I think he scored 80 plus in both weeks. Yeah, he's gone 75 and 82. So he's got a fairly low break even as well at 12. 569k. I still prefer Mulatalo. I do just always generally prefer the winger. And he's got a lower break even, Mulatalo. That 116 is going to be in his rolling average for 2 weeks. So it should spurt on some good cash gen. So I think Talakai's been good, but I think I prefer Mulatalo. And I like the play as well if you only got Hines and you unfortunately, Tigers fans, if you want to target the Tigers matchup for points, then you can get one of these other Sharks backlines. You know, you could even get like a Sione Katoa, who's been pretty good. The good thing with Motalo, his first 2 weeks, his base has been pretty good. So Talakai, for example, with base stats 28-28. Just going to have a quick look at Mulatalo. I have a feeling it's more 28 and 33. So he's actually had better base than Talakai, better attacking upside being on the wing as well. I still think he's the option I would prefer. Right, so I appreciate we've been going for an hour, 5 minutes. So we're going for a long time, and I still have got plenty to chat about. So 5-8 slide, I'll chat about it very briefly. I made my feelings clear on Dilbags earlier. I just don't think he is a sell. So yeah, I don't think Dylan Brown is a sell. Good draw coming up as well, Manly and then the Tigers. There are some good matchups all the way until round 9. So I don't think I want to sell Dilbags. If you've made your bed and you're saying happy to downgrade Dilbags to free up funds, then I think the guy I would be going to is Luke Brooks. I spoke about him a lot on the Sunday stream. Good matchups coming. I think Parramatta is a good game for points. Then they've got the Dragons in round 4. Penrith Warriors obviously is a little bit tougher, but yeah, I think Brooks has shown enough on the eye test. So I think he'd be the guy who I'd be downgrading to. I know Dearden has scored well the first 2 weeks with 65 and 66. He could be a nice short-term option because they've got the next 3 games being pretty good. So again, this is probably more of an eye test gut feel. How do you feel about Dearden? Do you like what you see from the Cowboys and him? If you do, then I think take the bet. He wouldn't be for me personally. I'd prefer going Brooks, but you know, there is definitely a valid reason to go with Dearden as well. Metcalf probably is on the slightly cheaper end, 483k. The only risk with him is that the draw isn't so good on paper, and also the goal kicking, we just don't know if he's going to hold on to that. I think if it's it, my guess would be that Eshay's just got some kind of a leg issue, like a quad, that's stopping him from goal kicking. We don't have any news about it, so I think, again, the risk of, you know, I know he scored 70 in round 1 without goal kicking, but you know, the 63 he scored last week with goal kicking, I think he had like 20 points in goal kick points. So I think Metcalf, I know he's looked good on the eye, but I think I'd prefer Brooks for not that much more expensive. And then finally, Lachie Galvin. Like, I've got Dilbags, Galvin. I'm just going to keep Galvin because he's got a negative 11 break even. I'm going to keep Dylan Brown, as I mentioned already. So I just can't find a way to fit in one of these other 3 guys into my team. But that's just my own personal thoughts. Would I do Sam Walker to Luke Brooks? So Walker, what's his break even? I want to say it's very high though, because he got a low score last week. So he's got a break even of like 114, and he comes up against the Rabbitohs. Yes, I think I would do Walker to Brooks. You free up about 50k and you avoid a big cash drop on Walker. What would you, yeah, so that's that question from the great username. Your username Big Chung has got some good, had some laughs in the chat. I know he always plays well against the Bunnies, but yes, I think I'd just avoid that big break even. Would I keep Moses or downgrade to Brooks? Personally, I'm holding. Yeah, Matt, in that situation, I think Moses, look, he could be a fine hold because he does have the Tigers in round 4. Yeah, and the last comment here, Brooks has dropped 3 tries over the last 2 games. If he ices those, his price could skyrocket. Yep, that's right. He's been very close on a couple of occasions, so I think he's passing the eye test massively as well. Just conscious of time, I'll speed through the next section. This is on front row forwards. So again, if you're looking for a front row forward replacement this week, we've already talked about Cotter. I think, you know, Terrell May is number 1. Cotter's probably number 2. Obviously, if you can afford big money and go to someone like Tino, fantastic. You can do that. If you're shopping in the more cheaper options here, you know, Josh Kerr, 350k, so he's about 18k more expensive than Spencer Lenu. He's probably more of a value pick. He's got like a negative 25 break even, and he's shown good work rate. You know, in the first 2 games, he's averaged 43 minutes. In that time, he's got an average base power of 49, so good base plus power PPM of 1.19, on par with Terrell May. He looks to offload. He was close to actually getting a try. I think he got tackled just before the line against the Dragons. And the Dolphins do have a good draw, so I know we don't generally look at that when it comes to front row forwards, but he is a guy who can potentially get attacking stats. So that's something I'm thinking about this week. If I don't upgrade Spencer Lenu, I might just look to go Josh Kerr next week, or maybe I'll go Ruben Cotter. But I can see another week of Cotter before I decide that. So Josh Kerr is someone I'm keeping in mind for next week because he doesn't obviously play this week. Same with Flegler. You know, I'll see what we can do for next week. I think if you have Taumalolo, if you've got other fires in your team, you could just hold him because he's playing. But we know about this knee issue now. He's not going to be a long-term prospect, so I think he is a sell. Same with Palacio, been named on the bench, so I think you've got to get rid of him. Terrell May is the obvious guy who I'd be going to. A couple of other guys that were being shouted at last week, Corey Jensen, started very well, but then he played like 36 minutes in total, and I don't love that those are going to be his minutes, so he's not really an option for me. A couple of the Knights boys, Leo Thompson scored like 59 last week. He's probably a very solid, steady option. Like, he's averaged 52 minutes in the first 2 weeks for an average score of 50, base power of 51. So I think if that's what you're after, like just kind of meat and potatoes, 50 scores, Leo Thompson with the nice bench, I think could actually be a viable pick. But again, I'm looking at it as, well, I know I keep saying his name, but Josh Kerr, if he gets me a 45 to 50, maybe 5 points less than Leo Thompson, but he's also 100K cheaper, I think I'd rather just take the price saving at that point. So that's kind of where I'm thinking at with front row forward. Davey Mwali has been named to start this week, but four forward bench for the Rabbitohs does turn me off a little bit. But yes, that's my very quick summary of front row forward because I do want to wrap things up a little bit. We're already going for an hour, 11 minutes. Shout out to John Fichera, member for 3 months. Very much appreciate that. Thank you so much to John for your ongoing support. Quickly then on captaincy. So on captaincy this week, to me the standout is going to be either Nicho Hynes, Scott Drinkwater, or Turbo. Nicho Hynes for me stands out. You know, West Tigers away. If we look at the PPM conceded to that position last year, West Tigers were third for halfback, so only two other teams are worse than them. Drinkwater against the Dragons, they were fifth. And for Turbo against Parramatta, they were eighth for fullbacks. A lot of these other guys are versing opposition who I just think are going to be defensively a little bit better. So I look at, you know, someone like a Reece Walsh against Penrith. Definitely don't want to use anything on him there. I mean, VC Cleary would be a reasonable shout playing against an understrength Broncos team on Thursday night. But then that stops you from doing Hynes. So for me, I can't really do anything VC-wise on Cleary. If you bring in one of Teddy or Latrell, they're probably fine VC options this week as well. I think Drinky is a really good shout. You could even go someone like Val Holmes as well, because we know he's the goal kicker. You know, so yeah, I'm seeing people here seeing Pablo Escobar, VC, Holmes, or Drinky. Pablo, out of the two, I would go Drinky. I think he's just got, despite not being the goal kicker, I think he's got the higher ceiling than Holmes. But yeah, Alexander, VC, Holmes, I think that's a pretty good VC shout this week. And then you can lead that straight into a captaincy on Nicho Hynes, I think, who plays the last game on Saturday. So Hynes for me stands out as the obvious captain. If you've got the ability to do a VC loop, I don't even mind going VC Hynes and then going captaincy on Turbo, because I think Turbo just seems on the cusp of 120-point score. Parramatta are a team who can concede points, and it's at Combank. I always look at Combank as a game that is good for point scoring for Supercoach. So that's something else I'll throw up there as well. You could do VC Hynes, Captain Turbo. At the moment in my team, I think I've got like VC, Turbo, Captain Hynes. Obviously, I know that can't work, but I think I'm just going to end up captaining Hynes in the end of the day. And then if you, again, podge out, maybe someone like a Pappenhausen. Knights have not been strongest the first couple of weeks. 132 last week. On paper, I think the Knights team, you know, still a good team, but they did leak 28 points to the Raiders. So there could be points on offer there for Pappy. So I think Pappy's also a shout. You could do VC Hynes, captaincy Pappy, although I prefer captaincy Turbo, if I'm being honest. Nick, getting some great laughs at some of these names. Amon's reading out. Yeah, look, any funny usernames, if they're kid-friendly. Maybe Pablo Escobar isn't kid-friendly. But, you know, any chance I'll read him out, I will do so. Thoughts on Sifa, we just gave them before a little bit. Kahu, CJ. Alright, quick update on the league. Oh, we already did the league update, didn't we? So that's all the pre-prepared stuff that I had. So smashed through a lot of stuff, hour 14 minutes. I will just very quickly show you my team and what I'm thinking of doing this week. But unfortunately, guys, I don't think I'm going to have time to be doing a dedicated Q&A just because of how long the streams have been going for. But I'll try to do something maybe tomorrow, potentially. Benny G, thank you so much for the donation of $2. Turbo 120, more like 220 against our edge defense. That's the thing as well. Like we saw, I know it was a weaker edge defense because of the injuries that Parramatta got, but like, yeah, Turbo against some of those edges of Parramatta could do very well. You know, that right-hand side edge of Parramatta wasn't very strong. So, yeah, someone like a Turbo could run amok. Alright, so yeah, on my team, hopefully you guys can see my team. So what I'm thinking of doing, I've got 165k in the bank. Lukey is an obvious sell for me. I have considered going Mulitalo via Lukey, but I think in the end I'll probably just go for one of Fine Fuyaki or Kai Pierce-Paul. And I think I might just go Pierce-Paul. Not a lot backing that up, but that's just kind of my early thought. That was my early thoughts. Let's see if I can do that. That was one move. The other move, I think I'm going to do that Danny Levi to Lusick move. I think I just want a better backup hooker than Danny Levi. Let me unfilter that. So I still have 217k in the bank. So with these moves, I actually have enough to go Spencer Lenu to Cotter. And I pretty much will be boosting, guys, I think. So this is a set of trades that lets me keep Ponga. And I think it's fairly solid. I get a slightly cheaper second row forward. I get Cotter in for Lenu, so my front row forward looks pretty strong then with Terrell May and Cotter. And I get Lusick in and Pierce-Paul. So I don't actually... So this is probably... I think in the end of the day, if I don't decide to sacrifice Ponga, I think these will be the trades I'd go with. But because of Cotter's 45 break even, because I seem to have some fixation for Josh Kerr, front row forward spot, I'm like, do I want to be using a trade there, or do I want to have a bit more fun and go higher upside? Benny G in the chat will tell me, be bold and have fun. So I think I could actually play Liam Henry for one more game this week because there's no James Fisher-Harris. And so instead what I could do, if I do decide to sell Ponga, I could go Latrell. I've got money for that. I've got 320k in the bank as well. So like plenty of money so that next week, if I want to make an upgrade somewhere, you know, let's say I want to upgrade Jacob Gagai, you know, I can get like a mid 500, I can get like a low 500k center. I can go, I don't know, I can go Spencer Lenu up for like, you know, I can get Cotter as well next week, even if Cotter goes up in price a bit. So like I've got some flexibility there. So I don't mind going Latrell. I'm a Roosters fan, so I'm not sure how much I want Latrell to be going well against us this week. So Latrell could be an option. If you go back and hear my fullback stuff, you know, I could even afford Drinkwater if I was really, really bold. Drinkwater for a three-week play. I don't mind, though, going someone like a Val Holmes either. So, you know, someone like a Val Holmes, get him in for the next 3 weeks and then maybe reassess from there. And then maybe I've got cash in the bank to maybe swap one of these other second row forward, or one of these center wing to Ponga, or I could even sell one of my second row forwards, maybe the most underperforming one, via duels, you know, sub Burbo up to second row forward, sub to a Piki to center wing, maybe I go back to a fullback that way as well. Or I get Ronaldo Mulitalo. So I could do that if I really want to target the West Tigers matchup this week. It would be a much more shorter term play doing that. So say instead of Val Holmes, I get Mulitalo, but you know, I'm banking so much money in the bank, 482k. Mulitalo, big negative break even. Tigers matchup this week, then Canberra. Could fall flat on his face. And then round five, I trade Mulitalo to whatever fullback I think is best. That could also be what I do. So I think the Lukey and Danny Levi out for Lusick and Pierce-Paul or maybe Fine Fuyaki, I think that's likely to happen. It's just the third trade. As you saw, I don't have to sell Ponga this week. I can go Spencer Lenu to Ruben Cotter. But that doesn't feel very exciting this week. Feels like I can do something a little bit more fun, target a higher upside play, which could be Ponga to Mulitalo or Ponga to Val Holmes, or maybe even to Drinkwater potentially as well. So those are a couple of the options that I'm considering. And I think I'll just leave it at that, to be honest, because I haven't really decided. But of course, I'll always show my team come Thursdays what it looks like. But yeah, that could be where I'm at with trades. A lot of money in the bank next week. You know, maybe, you know, even Morgan Smithies, for example, by next week, he could be on the bench or something and he may need to be sold. And so that money in the bank could be exactly what I need to get a gun fullback or something. Just don't know yet. Anyway, that's where I'm at the moment. We have gone for an hour 19. I'll do a few questions though, just because I feel like I want to make sure it's a very important week. We address questions. And yeah, with, as you say, Jed, with that much money, I can basically get any fullback I want next week via dual position. Very true. Which is why I'm like, do I maybe go Drinkwater or do I maybe just go center wing and then use that center wing spot to maybe go back to a gun fullback? Be bold, mate. I believe in you. Of course, you would say that, Benny G. It looks like we've got 254 viewers, if I'm seeing that correctly, which is tremendous. Guys, do give the stream a like if you have enjoyed it. Overall thoughts on RTS? I'm not going to lie. First half of last week, I was a bit frustrated, but then he came out and got that try assist and end up on like 75. So I'm like, well, he base and powered like 50 points. So I think he'll be fine. So yeah, happy with RTS for the time being. I think the Warriors are still looking good in attack, so I'm happy to keep faith with their picks. KP to Teddy, you can upgrade Jacob Gaugai to Hammer next week. That's actually not a bad shout as well. So obviously we're not looking at Dolphins players this week, but Hamaso looked really good last week. If I wanted to get him next week with that much money in the bank, I could do it. I could just go Gaugai to Hamaso, and then all that means is that I can just choose to sell any one of my center wings or second row forwards for a gun fullback. So I don't even mind that play, Quirky Worm. Again, another great username to shout out. Curran and Teddy or Kaipis Paul and Latrell? Ooh, that's tough. I think I would just edge Curran and Teddy just as a combo. Is Firmor to RTS worth it? I have a weak center wing apart from Tell and May. I mean, what is RTS's break even? 32, so he's probably likely to make money. I would prefer RTS in my team than Bo Firmor, if I'm being honest. So, yes, I think it's probably just about worth it. Appy and Hammer next week. Yeah, look, that money. I probably want to get Appy Chorus out for a while. If I do go Lusick and Grant, I'll probably ride it out for a while. But yes, I don't mind that combination for sure. Zach Lomax, LFG. Yeah, Lomax could even be an option, but obviously Dragons underperforming last week. We haven't really spoken about Lomax, but he had like base stats of 36 last week. So good base stats again, which is good to see. But again, happy, you know, he's got like a break even, I think, in the 30s. So he's not like a must trade in terms of cash gen this week. So Cowboys matchup as well. It's not the easiest on paper. So happy to, you know, wait a week as well. Is it worth, Hamish is saying, thoughts on boost for Marzi to Mulatalo, Levi Lusick, Lenu to Curran? I think that's a pretty good boost, Hamish. Yeah, I like that. Is it worth going Flegler to May or just move Cotter down? It means I'll have to play Hughes. Flegler to May feels a little, not sideways, because I think May's better, but there's no need to sell Flegler. I would just move Cotter down if I were you. I don't think you need to sell Flegler, if I'm being honest. And look, Sam Hughes this week for a 1 week play. Yeah, I think it's fine, to be honest. You can cop it for 1 week, but I think overall structure of your team would be better just moving Cotter down and getting Flegler and May as your two front row forward. Jeremy Marshall, King or Chorus out for Lusick. I mean, look, I don't love either of those two out, but if it's one, Jeremy Marshall King, because he's on a bye this week. And I think Coruscant with a goal kicking could be a better option than him anyway. Do I think Wong's going to get his spot back? I think he will eventually, but like, it's so up in the air. Like, there's just too many good back rowers at the Roosters. Galvin or Metcalf? I think Galvin. You're going to get way more cash in, I think, out of him. And he scored well, 49 points. I think he scored like 45 in base power as well. So he's got a good floor. Okay, we'll do one more. Kai Pierce-Paul or Tua Peake was a buy this week. I mean, if you're going to buy this week, probably Tua Peake, just because you get that cash gen out of him. But it's not an obvious one, that one, eh? Because Kai Pierce-Paul could just be a good long-term hold, but Tua Peake is probably more of a short-term cash grab. But at least you can play Tua Peake. Yeah, you're going to have to obviously use an extra trade to trade it back out eventually, but maybe I'll just lean to a Peaky. Okay, well, we'll do one more question. I think we'll leave it at that, because this is going to be, I think this will be the longest stream I've ever done. But it's a very big, important week, so it had to be done. Would I consider Galvin to Brooks, as you have so much in the bank, or would I keep Galvin? I think with Galvin, I would just be keeping him, to be honest. I know Brooks has been good, but I feel like the use of the trade to upgrade Galvin, probably not worth it when he's himself is going to make good money, I think. So would I run a 5-8 combination of Strange and Galvin? Probably not. Feels a bit too low for me. I think Strange is a good option to keep in your center wing. I think there's enough other good 5'8s now. Metcalf, Dillbags, Dearden's doing well, Brooks. I think I'd prefer to keep Strange in the centre wing spot. All right, guys. I think we're going to leave it there. Actually, we'll do one question. The Gamster, Max King to Tyrell May. Yes, I think I would do that. The ministers don't seem to be there for Max King, but Tyrell May just looks a must. All right, guys, we're going to leave it at that. Very, very long stream, but hopefully you all enjoy that. Do please give us a big like on the way out. Any non-subscribers watching, do please subscribe as well to see more content during the season. Hopefully you all enjoyed tonight's stream. Probably won't be back on Thursday, so I'll try to answer as many questions as I can on other forums during the week. But yeah, thank you all for tuning in. It's been a long stream, but hopefully very useful for you all. So thank you all again, and we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.